This is cross one, is it? Is it the
yes,
one that
one.
Comes after?
Yes, we've actually left. Well, we didn't talk about the smoke one very much, but anyway, that we could go on a bit if you want to.
Yes, well, let's finish.
But that was just basically that thing of, I like the way, if you can get up on top of a headland and look down at the way headlands come into the harbour like fingers and so on.
Yes.
And you get a lovely, you know, difference in quality between the trees and the rocks and these sort of built-up things. Like, I found an old Persian, well, not found it, I bought one years ago, very cheap rug at a rug gallery. It's not very big, but it's an interesting one because it's just a flat woven rug, but then it's got pile that comes in from each side, like fingers, all the way up. And they're like headlands coming in, and the flat part of the rug is like the water. It's just a very, it's like actually flying over something like the harbour. It's not as irregular, it's quite a regular thing, but it's very beautiful. And it's just that sort of, again, that texture is sort of a, something. I mean, I'm just amazed that there's no people, nobody's really working with texture. When I talk about that, I don't mean the Spanish school, but sheets of glass next to sheets of fur, next to sheets of brick, and you know, just walls of panels of things, because I don't think anyone's really done things like that. I don't know, maybe they have. But things that you can go up and touch and actually sort of get some sort of
tactile
sort of response to, and so on. But that is what sort of happens. I mean, you get that sort of surface of the water and the surface of the rocks and the land. It's almost a sort of, it's just that visual tactile sort of quality that is there, that is just that play between the two. And the smoke was another thing. It was just, it wasn't really about trying to record anything.
No.
And it's like these diagonal things aren't trying to tell about building. It's all something about really the abstract qualities of the things that are around us all the time.
They've been absorbed into your subconscious and then just come out in one way.
Well, one of the things that really, it's like the side of a new Mercedes or something, which is a beautiful sort of burgundy and 500 coats of paint or whatever it is, with a chrome strip along the side, and it's all immaculate and so on. And then somebody might scrape along the side with a truck and just gouge in a line, which is breaking through all that immaculate paint and exposing the metal, which has rusted over a week, because it happened a week ago. And then for 2 weeks before that, somebody had put another dent in it, and that man had come along with that pink putty and puttied it up, not conscious of making any shape, so just somehow putting it on there, so that you just, it's just a play of all these sort of types of marks,
sort
of, but they all have to be saying and doing something in the right place. Just to build up a sort of evidence of man being there or something, I don't know.
And this feeling was coming through in 65, 66?
That's right. Well, and early with those things of the sort of, you know, the garage doors and the bush and so on.
Yes,
so it's always the same things, really, that have sort of interested me. There it was just a thing of almost just sitting on a rock and looking down at the harbour and smoking a pipe, but noticing while you're sitting there that all the smoke's coming out of the pipe and blurring your vision, you see. So that you could have things that were dissolving and other things. The harbour ones that were concerned about yachts and things on the harbour, and the collage was used as the man-made element on the water. So the paint was nature and the collage was the man-made, which related to the early thing. After that, it was trying to take that a bit further. And it was almost a thing of trying to fit things in, thinking the whole rectangular area of the painting as being one element, and then trying to put marks on it that were sort of opposite or something, so that it ceased to be about a view or about a natural situation, but making a situation in the painting. And to do this, I started becoming aware of the importance of the rectangular quality of the painting. The first decision about doing a painting is what proportion is the painting. You know, that's the first decision. And I started thinking then, well, you can have a long painting or a square painting or a round painting or a triangular painting, or, and that's the first decision, really. And then once you've made this arena, you can then make marks and things which have to relate to that first decision of what the size of the painting is. So right from the beginning, you sort of, it's not just pulling a sheet of masonite out that happens to be 4x3, so that's the size of the painting. So you can have a painting that's 20 feet long and only an inch high, or whatever.
It's an active decision.
That's right. So that then started taking over from that thing of that became almost like the man-made decision of, or the man-made thing on the harbour, you yes. see. And then the marks on it were sort of the natural thing, you see. So yes. any paint you put on the canvas was like weathering on a plank of wood. The plank of wood might be 20 feet long and 6 inches wide, yes. but the way the deterioration, bird droppings, yes. dirt, rot, all that sort of stuff, alters the shape and the character of that yes. thing. So that in making up the stretcher, I'd sort of make a decision on the shape of it. They're always generally rectangular, but some of them did actually have extensions added onto them and so on. And then I'd allow the paint to just be this weathering process on that surface. There might have been marks or something, like lines, yeah. and most of them were vertical at that stage,
yes.
vertical line. And then there were a number of them where I think the proportion was something like 6 squares, and then I'd take one whole square out of the bottom so yeah. that it'd have a sort of a stretcher that was sort of like that.
Yes.
And one bit would fit in perfectly, so it became a rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of having to paint a very fine line, just the fact of where they butted up,
mm-hmm.
and they were two separate stretchers, meant that there was just a slit there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that. Just working with... well, it was like sort of the vertical ones that you'd chop in half and one bit would fall down and then the other bit would fall down and you get things happening like boxes and things. Yes. It's quite interesting because they were about sort of trying to become very conscious of the process of painting and the problems of painting, because I'd tended to have spent the last, whatever it was, 8 years going through the bush and the new house and the harbour and the boat and all that sort of stuff about these opposites and so on. Now it was just trying to work it all out in an abstract way and leaving all these figurative elements out completely.
I see. What years were these? This was what?
Well, that would have been from about 1966 or 7 until about 1970. And there are numbers of paintings. For instance, there were some that were big arcs, and the thing is, it was again trying to fit the longest, a very large sort of
element
into a picture that's unbroken, like a diagonal, you see. And it's like doing a Tarzan thing of just bending down a bit of cane and then putting it into a box, and
yes.
then the fact that it wants to do that
yes.
holds it in place, you see.
Yeah. And gives it tension.
And the corners actually sort of become these sort of... parts where those bits sort of stay in and they can't move out of the corners, you see.
Yes.
So this arc is just in there.
Yeah.
And I just sort of became interested in doing things like that. And they were just about almost a physical thing of trying to put something into the painting or something.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'd thought of doing things out of bits of wood and wire. I thought of doing a sculpture which filled up a room where you had a stainless steel pipe that was a straight bar.
Yes.
And again, you got it into the room, and the only way you could get it in was, say, putting one bit in that corner. Because it was longer, you'd have to arc this great thing right across the room. But I never actually made any of those things, but I did think about making things like that.
Did this precede the painting of these arced?
Yes, so it came after the painting. See, what seems to happen is I sort of almost instinctively come up with things that have come out of some sort of process that I seem to go through. I don't know how it works.
Yes.
I haven't deciphered that. But afterwards, I spend a lot of time just sort of contemplating, meditating, and wondering why I've done it. And
I
so
see.
On.